This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
If we were on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ, what would you think would be predominant in God's mind and heart as a father? Would you guess that perhaps it might be fathers, that it might be fatherlessness? Well, indeed it is, because if we go to the Old Testament, we find in the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, talking about actually giving us the understanding of what God's view is to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. And it has to do with fathers. Yes, it does. Because God said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, that is the final outpouring of his judgment upon the earth, the wrath of God, before that comes, he will call the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Does that not sound like it might be a preeminent thing on God's mind today? Well, we're going to find out why that might be here on Viewpoint today as we're approaching Father's Day. It seems that perhaps fathers have fallen on very difficult times these days. More difficult than you might imagine, actually. It has been said by both Christian and non-Christian, secular and Christian viewers out there, or not just viewers, but commentators, that fatherlessness is the number one social issue of our day. The number one social issue, that all other social statistics are directly or indirectly linked to fatherlessness. So if that be true, you would think then that maybe, just maybe, we're in that very specific period of time in which God warned through the prophet Malachi that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he would call the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers. And we're going to do that right here on Viewpoint today. So I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation is ever increasing, conviction, talk that transforms. And today on Viewpoint, we have a special guest that is joining us. But before he is joining us from Pennsylvania, up there in William Penn country, we want to find out what's really going on here. We're going to set the stage, as I always do here as a good lawyer, you know, presenting a case before a jury. You want to give an opening statement. So here's the opening statement. According to Lifeway Research Group, Father's Day is the holiday with the single lowest average church attendance, lower than Labor Day, Memorial Day, and even the 4th of July. Interesting, isn't it? Because Mother's Day tends to be one of the third highest church service attendances in the country. So what does that tell us? Well, maybe it tells us what happened when my book, Hearts of the Fathers, came out. And we discovered over the first couple of years when it came out that 2/3 of all those books were purchased by women, not men, even though the subtitle of the book was Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. It appears that men weren't all that interested, but it was the women who were interested. According to data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will attend church as adults. If a mother does not go to church, but a father does, a minimum of 2/3 of their children will end up attending church. In contrast, if a father does not go to church, but the mother does, on average, 2/3 of the kids will not attend church. Another survey found that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% probability that everyone else will follow in the household. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. However, when the father is the first to become a Christian, there's a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. Obviously, dad's impact on the kid's faith and practice is beyond huge. So again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and we're talking about the impact of on kids of fathers' faith, and their practices and so on. And joining us today is Sean Teese with the, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Sean Teese. He says that fatherlessness is America's silent crisis. And we haven't even talked about fatherlessness yet. We just talked about the absence of fathers in the spiritual leadership of their homes. But how about the absence of fathers themselves? Well, our guest today, the founder of Life Factors Fatherless Ministries, is sounding the alarm about what he calls America's silent crisis. Sean, it's good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. It's great to be here.
And please give me the correct pronunciation of your last name.
It's Teese.
Teese. All right. Teese. That sounds like a good Spanish name, my friend. I'm kidding.
It's actually made up. It was Abu Teese when my grandfather came over, and Teese. So yeah, it's made up.
All right. Okay. So you feel very strongly called into this special ministry concerning fathers. In fact, I found it interesting that you and your wife, Jackie, since 2008, have traveled around the country with your three kids. You spent about 3 years doing this in your Hope for Fatherless America national tour, speaking on fatherlessness in 150 or more churches, plus conferences, prisons, youth detention centers, public schools, Christian schools. My goodness, you dedicated yourself. That was a powerful demonstration. Did the kids feel like you were still a father?
Yeah, oh, definitely. They were with us. They did it with us. We made sure we had family time. We had a great time doing it.
You know, I'm getting a strange reduction in the level of sound coming from you. Are you using a cell phone?
I am.
You need to keep it directly in front of your face, your mouth, because the level keeps fading away. Okay, we want to make sure we don't miss a single thing you have to say, Sean. So what motivated you back in 2008 to get on the road for fathers?
We had been doing this ministry for years, and we started doing this ministry in 2008, and we went on the road for a little while, for a couple years, and then I became a youth pastor in Florida and did that for about 6 years. So we did the ministry on the side for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2018, we felt like, hey, we need to go full-time with this. And so that's when we went on the road, and 2019, we actually bought an RV and started traveling around the country and speaking about fatherlessness all over the place.
All right. Well, we're going to pick up on that after this break. I'm so delighted that you've joined us. This is a very big deal. If it were not, the Lord wouldn't have prompted me to write a book called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. So we'll be right back to hear your heart on the matter. You're listening to Viewpoint, friends. It determines destiny.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
There are 113 million men in America over the age of 15. 69 million of those men make no profession of faith in Christ. 90 million men are not involved in any kind of discipleship. The typical U.S. congregation draws an adult crowd that's 61% female and 39% male. This Sunday or Saturday, whenever you're worshiping, almost 25% of married church-going women will worship without their husbands. Over 70% of the boys who are being raised in church will abandon it during their teens and 20s and never return. More than 90% of American men believe in God. Of course, the devil does too. And 5 out of 6 call themselves Christians. But only 2 out of 6 will attend church gathering on either Saturday or Sunday when they gather. Churches overseas report gender gaps of up to 9 women for every adult man in attendance. Christian universities are becoming virtual convents where they enroll 2 women for every man. Unbelievable, friends, but we haven't even talked about fatherlessness yet, which is what we're really going to talk about with our special guest, Sean Tice. He says that God is his dad because he was fatherless. What do you mean by that, Sean?
Well, I grew up without a dad. My dad came home in a drunken rage when I was about 9 months old and kicked my mother and my brother and my sister out of our home. But for some reason, he wanted to keep me, the little baby. And so he had a past history of abuse. He had beat my mom up on a few occasions. And so he kept me for some reason that night. And my mom got all nervous because she wasn't sure what was going to happen. And so she got the cops to show up. They showed up. And my dad took me and threw me across the room to the cops whenever they showed up.
Wow.
And I started that day what I call the fatherless journey because I was a little baby. My dad packed up his things. Right after that, got on a bus, went back to Las Vegas, Nevada, his hometown, and never came back. And so I claim God as my dad because my dad walked away.
Isn't that terrific? So, you know, God wants to be known as a father. And he said there through the prophet, he said, if I be a father, where is my honor? Where is my honor if I be your father? They claimed that he was their father, but didn't live like it. So you can have a father and it doesn't function as a true father. You can have a dad who is a sperm donor, but he's not necessarily a father, is he?
That's correct. Yeah. God will be your father. He's way better than any dad, any earthly dad ever could, even if you have a great dad. But he wants to be there for you always. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient and all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's an amazing dad, and he's way better than any earthly dad ever could be.
So how has that absence of an earthly father affected your life? Early on, years 1 to 10.
Yeah, well, right when my dad walked away, my grandfather picked up the pieces, and he started becoming my dad. And he stepped in, and he became... Honestly, I didn't really even feel the effect of fatherlessness for the first 11 years because my grandfather picked up the pieces and just loved on me and cared about me. And I actually moved in with them whenever I was in second grade.
Uh-huh.
But then he passed away right before he turned 12 years old.
Mm.
And that really is when I started really feeling it. I was going into those crucial early teen years. And I started, it was hard because, you know, I was trying to navigate life without a male figure. It was teaching me how to be a man, teaching me how to be respectable, respect myself, respect women. And so I really struggled with it. I struggled with a lot of anger and bitterness and confusion, really. I don't ever want to go back and experience those times.
Yeah. Did you have any siblings?
I did. I had an older brother. He was about 6 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
And I had a sister who was about 2 years older.
And how did they react or feel as a result of the father's abandonment?
And we all handled it differently. My brother knew my dad, and you know, he's 6 years older, so he had good memories of him too. He remembered going fishing with him and
uh-huh.
doing different things, but he also remembered the abuse.
Uh-huh.
He remembered the different things that went on. So you know, he struggled with that, and he handled it differently than I did. He eventually went out and moved out to Las Vegas with my dad when he was 17 years old. And
wow.
He had a completely different experience than I had. You know, my sister, she obviously, she's a girl, so she handled it differently. Girls face fatherlessness different than guys do. And so she struggled with it as well. And but we all had our own situation with it. I moved in with my grandparents, and my mom and my brother and my sister moved into another house with a different man
mm.
About when I was about 6 or 7 years old. So it was a different situation for my brother and sister.
All right. Well, we used to hear the phrase "father knows best," but now it's as if father knows nothing, and even a present father is demeaned and almost demolished on television and mocked. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a lack of respect for dads because so many of them have stepped away or walked away, and a lot of them. The people that are writing those scripts and writing those things, they a lot of times in Hollywood, they maybe grew up without a dad or they didn't have a very good dad in their life, and you're just going to see a domino effect of that.
Yeah.
But also, I believe that the devil knows that if we erase the dad or make the dad look like a fool, then that's going to change the trajectory of the home. It's going to change those children, and it's going to really push them down a path of fulfilling Satan's evil agendas. That the fall of the home is definitely a tool of the devil. He wants to ruin homes so that families, you know, break apart, and then the kids that are growing up in those families, they go down a path of failure.
Yeah.
And the devil wants to destroy us. So I think a lot of it has to do with the devil controlling Hollywood.
Well, there are two main causes for fatherlessness. The two main causes for fatherlessness in this country are, number one, divorce, and number two, unwed pregnancy. Divorce and unwed pregnancy. And there's no argument about it. Those are the two primary causes of fatherlessness in the country. And that doesn't even include the fathers that just decide, like your dad did, to up and leave. These are divorce and unwed pregnancy are the number one and number two causes. Divorce has resulted in about 1 million children being virtual orphans since 1968 every year. About 1 million children every year since 1968 when no-fault divorce was ordered there in Southern California. So we're looking at a situation which has been catastrophic for this country claimed to be under God, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's an epidemic in our nation. It's affecting every single person listening to this show right now in one way or another. You know, it's affecting our tax dollars. It's affecting crime in our communities. I mean, there's so many different things coming from fatherlessness.
Well, it's even affecting the riots out there in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
I dare say that if we were to test, go out there and talk with those that are participating actively in the riots, other than those who are the ringleaders, I would say that probably 75% or more of them are fatherless.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And definitely even the riot, the issues we had on with George Floyd and different things that happened
right.
Back in, I think it was 2020. You know, many of those individuals, they grew up without a dad in their life. And statistically speaking, that's just what goes on. And then they try to cope with it through getting involved in a group of friends, a gang or something like that. And they try to find that father figure through the leader of that, and it just ends up putting them on a path of failure.
Well, there's no question about it that fathering is a demanding job from God's viewpoint. He wants us to follow in his step as a true godly father. But the question is, what does it even mean? What does it even mean to be a father? I believe that the absence of fathers is a premier sign of God's absence in any generation and of God's rejection in our generation, these latter days of human history. So if we really are on the near edge of the second coming, whenever exactly that is, we should probably take this amazing fatherless problem as a clear indication of the time we're in.
Yeah, I completely agree. Fathers, they play a very key role. You know, we try to act like, well, they don't have a dad, so the mom can handle it. We do. We start single mom support groups across the country. We have several going right now. And one of the things is these moms know, and we try to teach them, that it's okay to just play the role as a mom, but there's a very unique things that a dad provides. You know, some of the things we've seen in our ministry is dads provide for girls, they provide security. And so a girl, when she's growing up with her dad, she has a good dad in her life. She has security in her life. He's teaching her that, hey,
right.
I love you. You're beautiful. I'm here for you. I protect you. And when they don't have that dad, they're looking for security in other places. They're looking for security through a boyfriend. They'll look through it for another man might take advantage of them. And that's why we're seeing even numbers such as 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. Why is that? Because they're trying to find security through that boyfriend.
And love. And,
yes, exactly. Exactly. And I believe love is included with the security, because whenever your dad loves her, it makes her feel safe. And then also the other side of it is with the boys. You know, dads teach boys how to be respectful, how to respect themselves, how to respect the lady, how to be a respectable person in society, how to be just somebody that's a respectable person that you see them, you're like, man, somebody's taught them, right? And so I believe dads teach that, and when they don't have that dad in their life, they're going to struggle. And that's it's impacting their life. We teach with our ministry that whenever a dad's not in the child's life, or even a mom or dad in their life, whenever one of them's not there, that kid's life is off balance. And you look at it like a scale. And you wonder, why are these kids committing crime? Why are they going down these paths of becoming statistics? Well, it's because their life's off balance.
Right.
And we could bring their life back into balance. That's why we teach about God being our dad, because God can bring their life back into balance.
You know, this rejection of fathering and fatherhood has become a very serious spiritual problem, even beyond what we normally would think. I believe that the rejection of God as father has manifested itself in the progressive mocking of earthly fathers. In fact, in reality, the whole climate movement and the worship of Mother Earth is a spiritual replacement for the worship of Father God. And so this problem is a deeper, deeper problem than just whether or not there's a father in the home.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, God says in Psalm 68:5, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God wants to father us. He wants to father this fatherless generation. But also, when we reject God, dads are going to walk away. When they don't have that balance in their life that God is in the center of their home, it's going to be an immoral home. I mean, let's just be honest. If you look at it, if God's not in the center of it, other things are going to creep in. The devil's – so you either have God controlling your home or you have the devil controlling your home. And you have to make that choice. And so I used to – whenever I went to a Christian school growing up, and our principal used to teach us, there's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And so we get to decide, am I going to follow God, or am I going to let the devil control my life? And now some people might think, well, that's a radical decision. We have free choice and stuff like that. But if you don't make choices that follow God, and you don't follow the word of God and the Bible, then you're going to make choices in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And those choices, they lead us down a path of destruction.
You know, one of the things that really has bothered me, and I've tried to take this almost like a personal challenge, is to talk with my black listeners, African-American, whatever term you want to use, because this issue has dealt a death blow virtually to the black community. So much so that I believe it was the 75th anniversary edition of Ebony Magazine talked about the complete breakdown of the black family. And what we're looking at is a situation where men have abandoned the household. Some of it was due to political machinations by Lyndon Baines Johnson, who had this sneaky idea that somehow the Democrat Party would gain dominion over the whole black community by seducing them into welfare. And then that men, if there was a man in the home with the children, then the woman would not be entitled to the welfare. So the mother, woman, got rid of the father, even if they weren't married, got rid of them. And so you've got fatherless children running around and women feasting on welfare. And the whole situation was so wicked, and it was purposely put together by Lyndon Baines Johnson. That was his vision. To me, it's wicked. It was a wicked seduction, and I just want people to be aware of what's taking place, because it can't continue and have any hope for the black family. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Fathers disappear from households across America, read the headline of an article in the Washington Times. The writer went on to say the decline has hit disproportionately in the South, which considers itself a bastion of traditional values, the Bible Belt of America. How could such a thing be? How could you have greater fatherlessness in the Bible Belt of America? Well, maybe because the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America for the past 25 years has exceeded the nation as a whole at one time by over 50%. I wonder, how are these things taking place? I wonder, Sean, whether we have abandoned God as Father and we just don't consider his word to mean anything anymore. And so we've decided to do it our own way. And now look at the echoing consequences throughout the country. In fact, our country, the United States of America, is known now as the most fatherless country in the world. What do you make of that?
Exactly. Well, I agree with you. And I honestly believe it, with the church, too. We haven't listened to what the Bible says about helping the fatherless. You know, it says in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. It says there that we're supposed to visit the fatherless. We're supposed to be there for them as Christians. It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to just the leaders of the church. It's up to all of us as Christians stepping up to the plate and visiting them. Yeah. And I believe that as a church, we've dropped the ball. As Christians, we've dropped the ball. We've left it up to secular organizations. We've left it up to the government. We've left it up to these organizations to let them control these kids. And now we're seeing the result of it, where we've decided, hey, we could have had an impact on the fatherless. And the church should have an impact on fatherless. And there are some churches, there are some ministries doing it, but as a whole, we left it up to Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Yeah. We left it up to the Boys and Girls Clubs. We've left it up to these secular groups where then, oh, okay, well, they're running it now. The church is kind of like getting pushed off to the side with the issue because these other organizations are doing it. And now we're seeing the result of what happened with fatherlessness. And the numbers continue to increase. And when you don't reach out to these kids, the fatherless end up making the fatherless. They make more kids fatherless, and it's a domino effect of what we're seeing, what's happening in our nation.
No question about it, the domino effect, and God is not happy. If God were happy, he would never have dressed Malachi and saying that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he would send forth the spirit of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I feel that that's just what you and I are doing right now. In the spirit of Elijah, we're calling the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, because the consequences are vast beyond what anybody really believes. Before we move further, I want to make available to you, friends, my book, Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. This is a $23 hardbound book, and it's yours for $15 on our website. It doesn't get cheaper than that. This is a fantastic book, even though I do say so myself. It's presented in so many different ways to help any man catch a vision for what it means to truly be a godly father. It's not about buy me some people, peanuts and Cracker Jacks, take me out to the ball game. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what fathering is about. Fathering from God's viewpoint is very different than that. And so this book is a book to help cast a vision for every man. In fact, those who maybe are just getting married, maybe haven't married at all, but they're young men and they're going to be prepared. They're going to need to have their hearts prepared for fatherhood. What a gift this would be. What a tremendous gift this would be. Some have purchased this book for all the men in their families, grandchildren, children and grandchildren. And I tell you, friends, this is something you can do. People wonder, well, what can I do? Well, this is something you can do. You can pass this along and then trust the Lord through prayer that it will catch on in the mind and heart of the men in your life. And that's why 2/3 of all these books have been purchased by women. So this is not just a message to men. It's a message to women. So here it is. A $23 hardbound book, yours for $15 on the website saveus.org. You can call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. For you writing a check at $6 for postage handling. By the way, if you're getting more than one book, for each additional book, it's only $2 postage and handling after the first six. So there's a lot of savings there. So, all right. Now, Sean, you've been involved in this ministry now since off and on since 2008. You've been very diligent about this. How old are your kids right now?
16, 14, and 10.
All right. So you're in a challenging time right now.
Definitely.
Every time is a challenging time these days for parents. But you and your wife, Jackie, are in a very challenging time right now. And are you, you've relocated from Florida up to Pennsylvania. Are you living in a home there? Or are you still in the bus that you've been traveling around in? What are you doing?
Well, we had an RV. We were living in that. But now we're building a home in Pennsylvania and putting roots down. Here, this is where we're both from, mm-hmm. and so we're and our kids, they've handled the traveling and everything very well. They've looked at it as an adventure, and I feel like it's helped mold them. Very very close knit family, and I love being a dad. One of the things about being a dad is I've learned that I didn't have a dad growing up, so I get to learn from hundreds of dads and see what they do right and what they do wrong, and
right.
I choose the good stuff and throw away the bad stuff.
So if someone wanted you to come and minister in their congregation or in another setting, how would they do that?
They would just reach out to us at godismydad.com. They can email info@godismydad.com, and we would definitely work on setting that up. For example, I speak at churches. We've spoken at this point over 200 churches, and we do conferences. We've spoken youth attention center, stuff like that. So we would love to talk to you about it. We do public school assemblies.
Uh-huh.
We can get in pretty much anywhere. And speak about the issue of fatherlessness, educating on it, or spreading hope to fatherless families. And so, yeah, I would love to talk to them about that. But reach out to us at godismydad.com.
All right. So when you go into a public school, how are you received?
Very well, actually, because the thing about public schools, if we want to speak to the whole school, we can't give the gospel. We can't
right.
to talk about God. But we can go in and give a message of hope. And so I can go in and I can tell my story of how my dad threw me to the cops. I could tell about forgiving him then down the road.
Uh-huh.
And then we do it it's a very like interactive. We may have a fun time with it. And you can hear when I'm sharing those personal stories, you can hear a pin drop in a gymnasium with 800 middle school kids.
I'll
that's
bet.
How serious this topic is because
yeah.
so many kids can relate to either being hurt by their dad or somebody.
They feel your pain. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So how about when you go into a prison?
We've done youth detention centers. We go into there, they're the same. Those people that are in there, they've grown up without a dad, or they had an abusive dad, or
mm-hmm.
the dad was in their life and rejected them. And so they respond the same way. They're just very receptive. They want to learn. They want to know how they can change, how they can do it differently when they get back out, if they're going to.
And how about Christian schools?
Christian schools, same way. I mean, usually half of the kids that are going there, they're growing up same way as well. So
in divorced homes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So they're struggling with it as well. And even many kids that aren't growing up without a dad, you know, they're receptive to for being forgiving. I mean, so many kids are being bullied nowadays and different things that they're facing. So I share my story of forgiveness, and we see receptive, you know, kids being receptive of that.
I would think that that would be a huge subject. Forgiveness, Jesus said, if you will not forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And there may be some who are listening to the program right now who had some very difficult, maybe traumatic situations with a father and or a mother, but right now we're talking about fathers. And you cannot continue to hold that bitterness, that resentment, because not only will it defile you, but the Bible says it will defile everybody around you. And so it has an echoing consequence, like dropping a pebble in a pond and watching the concentric circles spread out. So how do you talk to people about forgiveness in this regard?
Personally, for me, I share my story of forgiveness. And I tie it in with the story of Joseph, how he was forgiving towards his brothers from what they did to him.
Uh-huh. Great and, for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And actually, go ahead.
How has your wife dealt with you as a man who grew up fatherless?
Well, we've been together since I was in eighth grade and she was in seventh grade. So she's been down with me for years.
My goodness.
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
About 26 years we've been together.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's learned to put up with me.
Wow. You really were childhood sweethearts.
Exactly. And I had to get her young.
Well, in this day and age, you know, they say don't get married until you're 30. The problem is that people have already developed such deep trenches in their life that it's hard to come together and have unity because everybody is entrenched.
Exactly. It's the way we got married when we were pretty young. So, I mean, I was still in college. So we were about 22, 21, 22, 23. So, yeah, we went earlier than that. But, yeah, I'm thankful for her. She was a pastor's kid, and I grew up fatherless. And so there's hope for the bus. I was a bus kid going to church. And they picked my family up on the bus, drove us to church. Her dad was one of the pastors of the church.
Uh-huh.
And we met in the nursery together at church. And then finally in eighth grade, I noticed her. And I'm like, hey, I want to marry this girl. She's something different about her. And so she's learned to navigate, you know, the issue of fatherlessness, and she's been a big blessing in my life.
Well, you know, she was a pastor's daughter. An awful lot of pastor's kids feel like they're fatherless because the father is so intent on doing ministry to others that he abandons his own family. And there are a lot of kids who feel like their pastor fathers have not been a father at all.
Yeah, we've dealt with that with our ministry. We have a lot of people that come to our table at churches and stuff when we speak, and they say, I had a dad in my house, but he was basically absent. I basically grew up fatherless. And they're telling us, I grew up mentally or emotionally or spiritually fatherless.
So he was there, but not all there.
That's what they tell us. Exactly.
All right, friends, we're going to be back with Sean Tice in just a moment. America's silent crisis, this matter of fatherlessness. And it's not just the absence of a father in the home, it's the lack of his true presence.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. A friend of mine said the family is a seminary of the church and the nation. Well, what if dad, as the premier professor in the seminary, is not really all there? Now, we all fail at some time and in some way, some degree, No question about that. There are no absolutely perfect fathers on earth, but faithfully lived fatherhood is both fulfilling, I think, in our time and leaves a legacy for all time. So the whole idea of fatherhood, I think, is somewhat of a mystery, and we need to understand that mystery. It's related to the mystery of the gospel. But God wants us to understand that ministry. So why do fathers fail? Why do fathers fail? What say you, Sean?
I think fathers fail because of the lack of, well, some of the things that we've seen is apathy. Sometimes I think the lack of care, but I think there is a lot of apathy where they're like, hey, I didn't have a dad in my life, so why should I be a good dad? Mm-hmm. And I said earlier about it being a domino effect. And so I think there's some dads out there, they're like, well, I didn't have a good dad, so why should I be a good dad for my kids? And so they're apathetic about it.
Right.
You know, why should I care?
So
you know,
apathy.
Apathy. We see a lot of, there's a lot of one night stands nowadays. People are so loose with their sexuality that they just go out and they have relations with anybody. And we see a lot of kids being born because of that.
Right.
So kids are, we have single moms with that. I think, like you said, that definitely with God not being in the home and there's not those moral values, then homes are thrown away. The marriage vows are thrown away.
Right.
We see with our ministry, we see dads being incarcerated. So a lot of times dads are being incarcerated, and so they're not around because of that, because of a crime that they committed. And sometimes they want to be good dads. Now, and there are sometimes with the judicial system that dads want to be involved, but the moms push them out of their life. So, I mean, there's a wide variety of reasons why dads aren't around.
That's true. Now, what you may not have known is that I practiced law for 20 years in Southern California. And until 1992, actually 94, when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause of the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. That's when we formed Save America Ministries. But 40% of my practice was in the area of family law in the largest family law court system in the country, the Los Angeles Superior Court System. And 80% of my clientele came from the broader body of Christ. So I have a lot of experience understanding how all of this has worked, even among my Christian brothers and sisters. It's agonizing to see what happened. And there was very little vision for fatherhood, very little vision for fatherhood. And I remember when my friend Dr. James Dobson was first speaking, he actually was in the church in which my wife and I attended in Pasadena, California. And he began to share, even before he formed a Focus on the Family, about this matter of fathering and how serious this was going to be. And that was in the mid to late 1970s. So that ministry was echoing out even at that time. But the problem is we, in many respects, kind of abandoned God as Father. We didn't like God as Father. So in the 1970s, the church growth movement began right there in Pasadena, California, out of Fuller Seminary. And out of that came the God is Love movement. Well, the God is Love movement abandoned God as Father because we didn't like him as Father, because we thought, well, that's the Old Testament God. We like the tender love of Jesus, gentle Jesus, sweet and mild. Well, the spirit of that invaded the whole country, in fact, the whole church from coast to coast. And I watched this happen, and it was very disconcerting to see the effect of it across the country. So God's word no longer was law in the household of faith. What was law then was our feelings. Feelings became Lord in the 1970s. And spread all across the country so that when Jesus said, I hate divorce, it didn't matter. It didn't matter anymore. When Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery, we said, yes, but you don't know what's going on in the culture. So the culture superseded Christ, feelings superseded faith, and this is where we are, fatherlessness, America's silent crisis. Watched it happen from coast to coast, Sean. Very painful. How old are you?
I'm 40 years old.
All right. So you would be one of the children of those who were the product of the divorce culture that began in 1968, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So you understand what I'm talking about. And people will say, well, you know, you go to the courts in that time, they say, well, children are resilient. And, they'll overcome all of this. And just be nice. Try to be nice to one another as parents, even though you're divorced. And everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Is it fine?
Yeah. No, these kids are getting caught in the middle. And even when I was a youth pastor, I would see that these kids, the parents would split up, and then the kids would be, well, they're going to be at mom and dad's house. They'll be at dad's house Monday and Tuesday, mom's house Wednesday, Thursday, back at dad's house. And I remember these two kids that were in my youth group, and they had to do that, back and forth, back and forth. And it just, the toil that it put on these kids' lives. And so these kids are just not, they're not thinking of the kids' needs.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, even my situation, I lived with my grandparents, which was great, but I didn't have, my mom wasn't there for a lot of my childhood. And I'm thankful that I had really nurturing and loving grandparents, but mm-hmm. sadly, and I'm not bashing my mom regrets the choices she made, but she, even after my dad left, she abandoned me and left. I was living with my,
wow. So you're not only, you were not only abandoned by your father, but by your mother as well.
Exactly, and I didn't realize that until I became an adult. And again, I'm not resentful or bitter towards my mom, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it's really hard on kids because you're looking at it like, man, this is why am I in this situation? Is it something I did? And you look at it and you think, you know, I guess this is normal, but it's not. It's not normal. It shouldn't be normal, at least.
Well, the children that have grown up in a divorced household are far more prone to divorce themselves. It's an echoing consequence that keeps flowing into the society. Is very, very painful. No wonder God hates divorce. And I'm not here to lambast somebody who is divorced. On the other hand, we need to catch a new vision. We need to catch God's vision for parenting. We need to catch God's vision for fathering. And so I want to share just a few things from my book, a chapter, When Fathers Fail. And what can we do? And here's what I'd like to say. First of all, we have to embrace the future right now. The future is always now. It's not mañana, it's now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month or next year, not when I graduate from law school or when I do this or when I do that. The future is right now. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to make the decision to be the kind of father that God wants us to be. And we have to do that by faith. Failure to invest now for the future is another problem that fathers have. Failure to invest now for the future with regard to the family, with regard to your kids. And I got to tell you, the Lord really put this mantle on my heart when our first daughter was born 52 years ago. And from the very get-go, even though I was a very busy lawyer and involved in so many different aspects of ministry and so on, I took this as the highest priority that I had, to be a truly godly father. Not just to take my girl to church, but to be, shall we say, Jesus with skin on. That's a phrase that my wife likes to use. So we need to see failure to see the future power of our present ways. Our present ways are what's determining the future. Failure to connect the dots between our life now and the legacy that we're going to leave. So we've got to somehow capture a vision. Doesn't the Bible say, Sean, that without a vision, the people perish?
It does.
So what do you do to try to cast that vision for godly fathering with men?
Well, I share with dads. I tell them about how, you know, people tell us that we have people coming to us all the time saying, I had a dad in my house that was physically present, but he was emotionally, mentally, and spiritually absent. And I share that. But then I tell dad, I said, it's your job. It's your ministry. It's your calling to be a good dad, to strive to be a good dad. You're not going to be perfect.
Right.
You will not be a perfect dad. Only God is a perfect father.
Would you say that would be the number one ministry after being a godly husband?
I believe it is. I really do. But we look at it as, oh, it's just a side thing. It's like my career or my hobbies, whatever. I'm a dad, too. I do that as well. No, it's your number one ministry after being a husband is being a good dad. And if your marriage split up, then now that's your number one ministry. It's focusing on those kids. And if you and your wife, we couldn't work it out, and it happens a lot, still strive to be a great dad. Your kids need you. And focus on that. Do not ruin your kid's life by you saying, hey, I'm checking out now. Be that dad that God wants you to be, and you will not regret it down the road.
One of the great pains that I have to endure listening to some men is the consequence of the breakdown of their family, of their marriage, and how that affected their relationship with their child. And it used to be, this may come as a surprise, Sean, because of your age, but it used to be that if there was a divorce, fathers always got custody of the children. Always. By definition, it was just a given. The father got custody until 1968 with the no-fault divorce business in California. At that time, psychologists said, oh, no, the kids need to be with their mommy. So the courts always put the kids with their mommy from that time on. So fathers fell out of vogue, fell out of relationship with their kids under color of law. So the whole system, the whole culture has capitulated, brought us to this horrific problem that you're talking about, America's silent crisis. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah. And I agree with what you said, too, because fathers provide stability. And when that father's with those kids, whenever the home breaks up, dads can provide stability. Now, moms are nurturing, moms are loving, moms are caring. But even with our ministry, just thinking about all the families we've worked with over the last 17 years, we can see that when there's a good dad, and it's a single dad, the good dad, he a lot of times has it's like an easier time taking those kids and going down a good path than that mom does, because dads provide such stability.
Yeah. Well, they do if they're following the ways of God as father. If they're rejecting the ways of God as father, they're losing that stability, and then the culture gets full sway in their lives, and then chaos begins to brew, and it's echoing consequences down the line. Friends, I want to urge you to get a copy of the book, Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. It will change your life. It will set the stage, even if you, let's say you've already had kids, well, maybe you're going to be a grandparent now. Or maybe you have sons that are in that position now. Maybe they're just going to get married. This is June or so. Get a copy of the book. Use it as a ministry. It's a $23 hardbound book. Yours for only $15. It's on the website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And remember, our guest today, Sean Tice, GodIsMyDad.com. GodIsMyDad.com. Use that as a life-giving ministry for you, for your family, for your congregation. Invite him to come and speak, and I think you'll be blessed. Sean, thanks so much for joining us. I sure appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right, brother. All right, friends, become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. This is the time. Let's do what we can until Jesus comes.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.